This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas, here's Matt Peralt.
All right, we're chasing Craig James. Hope to grab him here in a second. Craig James in the Pony Express, just to kind of give you an idea for numbers here. Sony Michelle and Nick Chubb have combined for 7,958 yards, rushing yards, second most all-time by teammates, trailing only the Pony Express. Eric Dickerson with 4,450, Craig James with 3,742. That's a combination of 8,192 yards. So there is a potential that if they go ahead and, well, they broke the record, right? Yeah, they broke the record against Oklahoma. So they've actually accounted for more than that. Because that was going, I'm reading an article, that was going into the Oklahoma game where they needed 235 yards combined to become number one. So they have already broken the record of Eric Dickerson and Craig James for the most prolific tandem in college football history. Look, Herschel Walker, Todd Gurley, I mean, the names, you know, Noshon Moreno. I mean, there are some amazing running back names in Georgia football history. So, in a lot of ways, it's running back U, kind of like USC. And, man, these two guys, good luck. Good luck replacing these two guys because they've been so, so good. All right, we've located Craig James joining us here, a longtime broadcaster, longtime NFL player and college football running back joining us here on PTO. Craig, Matt Peralt, good morning, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, Matt. How are you? Happy New Year.
To you, too. Thank you for the time. This is a real treat for me. I don't mean to make you feel old, but at 40 years old, I'm a kid in Boston who grew up watching you play with the Patriots, so I had a Craig James jersey, which I don't have many jerseys.
Oh, man. That's awesome. Hey, Matt, I thought I'd bought them all up and trying to increase the demand there.
I had a Craig James jersey. 86 was a very important year in my sports life for baseball and for football reasons. It's funny because you look at this game coming up tonight, and everyone's talking about the Pony Express with Eric Dickerson and yourself. When you look at Michelle and Chubb, do they remind you of you guys? Are they different than you guys? How do you see what Georgia's going to have tonight in the backfield?
Yeah, a couple of things. Eric and I, we talk about this. It's the fact that these two runners are powerful, but they have vision, and they play full speed but under control. And many of the places that they play, the defenses are not under control. And so, therefore, the cutback is a big asset that they have. They play fast. They play really fast. But there's going to be a great challenge for them in this game here. This won't be the Oklahoma defense. I mean, this will be a defense that will get there with a purpose, and they're going to have to run for 3 and 4 yards tonight and be happy that they get the 4 yards.
Are you somebody who's okay with an all-SEC final, or would you rather have seen somebody else from a different conference be in this either against Alabama or Georgia?
I'd rather see someone else. That doesn't mean these two aren't the best teams and most deserving teams. I agree with the system that we have in place today. They have matched up the best four teams in America, and now we have these two. They happen to be from the SEC. But I think for college football in general, I listened to my old partner Chris Fowler talk about this. He said, if you're a great college football fan, you're going to watch this game. Well, maybe. I'm a huge college football fan. I'm going to watch it, but I wish I were watching two other teams from different conferences play.
How does the influence or the familiarity that Kirby Smart has with Nick Saban being a former defensive coordinator under Coach Saban, how does that factor in, or does that factor in at all in terms of knowing the secrets of what Coach Saban does for championship preparation?
Hey, it comes down to players. The coaches are the coaches, but this is the Jimmy and the Joes. This is when Jimmy has to block Joe or Joe has to make a tackle. Both teams know each other. They'll know their systems. They'll know their tendencies. But when they snap the football, someone's going to have to block. Someone's going to have to tackle. And what we're going to see here are two teams that the team who executes and doesn't get outside of themselves, they will prevail on a play-by-play. And we've seen it time and again in big games like this. One team comes in, they execute. The other team comes in, they're a little bit off, and they lose the ball game.
See, that's why I like Alabama, because I think they've been here before. They've done this. This is not special for them. It is special because it's a championship game, but they were there last year, and they're there to get rid of the memory of last year's loss to Clemson. Do you see that similar where Georgia's going to have to get the nerves out early, and it could be a situation where they make mistakes early?
I agree. And let me tell you another reason that they're going to make mistakes early, Georgia, in my opinion. They're not as fresh as Alabama. And that's a huge deal. You've got a very talented, fresh Alabama football team. And last week we saw that, you know, Georgia had to go overtime. They had to play extended. They've been extended emotionally now for a while. And I think that's going to play into the game. You know, you can know what you're supposed to do, but if you're off just a little bit and not quite as fresh, it's a holding call. It's a face mask. It's a penalty. It's pass interference. And so those little things, little bitty things, make a difference.
Craig James joining us here on SB Nation Radio, talking about Alabama and Georgia tonight in the national championship game. Does the location of this game matter to you, given that it's in Atlanta? Does that factor into this?
I think it'd be odd if they were playing at any place but Atlanta. you know, this is an SEC battle, and it happens to be in the heart of the SEC country. So I think it's placed in the right spot. It just timed out well for that. And so both sides will have tons of fans there. And you know, it's a matter of going out now and executing.
But back to your point about watching it with two conferences, does it feel like something that's going crazy in the South? And if I'm in Seattle, Washington, I might not, if I love college football, but I might not feel like I'm part of the party?
Yeah, or the Big Ten country. I know hardcore fans will probably want to look to see how it starts and is going, but it is an SEC game, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, these are the two most deserving teams, and in the system we have, that's the way it's supposed to be. But, you know, I'm kind of one of those guys that wants to throw a little mud in there and that stir the pot. What about a UCF? You know, their team's on the fringe. What if? And I also am realistic and believe that if UCF played an SEC schedule, they wouldn't be undefeated. But, you know, that would have added a little more intrigue to it.
Do you like the fact that today they came out with a national championship hat and championship boots you can buy on their official website?
Hey, I'm all for doing whatever you think gets you going. You know, it's like Dickerson and I. Eric and I think our record stands because we played on the 11-game schedule. We weren't playing 13 and 14 games. We didn't get to count our bowl game yardage against in our total stats. So whatever gets you going, go with it.
So you have like a Babe Ruth thing here when it comes to Mantle and Maris, right? So you guys, they did it in more games than Ruth. So you and Eric are Babe Ruth?
Hey, we're not giving up the throne. We still think our teammates and I, we got the record.
That's great. You're talking to Craig James here on SB Nation Radio. Would you be in favor of an 8-team playoff then? Would you be in favor of expanding it if you want to see a team like Central Florida get a shot?
We already have a playoff week in and week out in college football. However, the playoff week in and week out in college football's regular season is really for about 10 teams. You know, everybody else is you know, joking themselves if they think they're in the hunt for it. So I do believe that we should extend it to 8, and why not? Why not allow Cinderella a chance to put her slippers on, right? Why not put it into it? Let's see it. Let's see it happen on the field. And if UCF is good enough, you know, then they will prevail. If not, then they're just an opponent for whoever's going to end up winning the championship.
Is the Auburn victory for Central Florida enough for them to be able to run around and pound their chest? Because their best regular season wins over Memphis, and yet they beat Auburn, and that's incredible. But is that enough in your mind for them to be actually in this conversation?
Not in the top four. Not in the top four, but in the top eight, it would be. There are a lot of teams who can go out and have a one-punch highlight Saturday. And you know, they had their one-punch highlight Saturday against Auburn. And those other wins were important and impressive, but it's not, in totality, the same thing that we saw from the top four teams that came into the playoffs.
Let me go back to Coach Saban for a second. If Coach Saban wins tonight, he'll have 5 championships at Alabama over the last 9 years. Does that make him the greatest coach in history for college football?
I don't know how you would be able to say he's not. I think when you start saying all-time best of anything, any sport, any type of conversation, I like to use the word arguably the best. There may be 2 or 3 others that were awesome as well, but certainly, arguably, Saban is in the category, short list, of the greatest of all time.
It's funny because the Bear Bryant argument, you have Bama fan almost arguing against themselves as to when they watch college football, because Bear Bryant for the longest time would have that. You know, A&M fans might agree as well in terms of Bear Bryant versus Nick Saban. Who would you give the edge to?
Well, you know what? Coach Bryant recruited me out of high school, and he said, young man, you know where you want to go to school right now. We'd love for you to come play here at Alabama with us. And he was impressive. And the reason I tell you that is because he had a way in his era of motivating players to play to their best. I got jacked up, fired up about the whole concept of even being recruited by the guy. So I can't imagine playing for him. Mm. So Saban does the same thing in this new era. These new guys, man, you got to figure out how you get them off of social media and make them play. And that's what Saban's done. And I got a feeling that the same type of blood that ran through Bear Bryant runs through Nick Saban. They both would have. I'd highly doubt that a player walks in a Nick Saban meeting room with his cell phone on looking at his social media. How about you?
No, I would totally agree with that. I think the thing probably would smash into 10,000 pieces if Coach actually saw that thing happen. I don't think it would go well for the player if that were to happen. All right, I got about 30 seconds, Craig. Who do you like tonight?
Got to go with Alabama. They're the fresh team. They got a quarterback that even though he's a sophomore, he has experiences in the big championship game. I think they're fresher and they're ready to go. And Nick Saban continues his dominance under his disciples.
He is Craig James. Thank you for the time. This was a real treat for me. Really appreciate it today.
You got it, man. My pleasure. Thank you, Matt.
That is Craig James, former running back for SMU and the New England Patriots and broadcaster all over the place joining us here on PTO. He likes Alabama. I like Alabama. The public likes Alabama. Everybody likes Alabama. That probably means Georgia wins. Here's kind of been my rule, and I think I'm going to actually violate my own rule. If the money is getting to the point where it's 70-75% on one side, you go the other way. If the liability is that great for the books, you have to watch and see what happens because they're essentially telling you, they're telegraphing what they feel is going to happen. So it's interesting. It's going to be really interesting to see how, over the next 4 to 5 hours, how the bettors come in and what the books do with the number. So it was 4.5. Sorry, it was 4, then it was 3.5, bet down when Georgia money came in, then Alabama money came back in, now it's 4.5. Sorry, now it's 4, excuse me. Will it go to 4.5? That would be a question. So we'll see, but it's right now I'm with Craig James, and Craig James is with me and the public. Alabama tonight. More to come, Case of the Mondays next.